Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, not to hijack a wonderful Football Friday.
But we're about to.
But I just have to point out that someone very important turns 34 today.
Okay.
And, yeah, I wonder if you can guess who it is. He is a Portland sportser. Not from here.
Dame?
He is, well, very close. Oh. He is largely responsible for the best postseason of the last 25 years of Blazers history, and yet no one seems to care about him.
Is it like LaMarcus?
Should that not give it away?
But he's not 34. He's way older than that. CJ?
Siege.
Oh, okay.
Happy birthday, Siege. Gotta give a little love to Siege. I was thinking about him today.
And he's in D.C. now, is that right?
Boy.
I think he got traded.
Pelly's.
I think he's with the Wizards.
Yeah. Okay.
I believe he is a Washington Wizard.
He's in that leftist hellhole, D.C.
No, it's all cleaned up, man. There's no crime. Not one piece of crime.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, you mentioned Aldridge. You know, is there a better Blazer who isn't all that revered? Like, Aldridge is probably...
He's the guy.
That?
Yeah.
CJ's kind of in that... He's in that camp. Like, dude, that series against Denver... Mm-hmm. The game, I think it was game 7, right? Didn't that go 7 games? Didn't he have that was his game. It was the siege game.
Yes. Well, he was great that series.
He was amazing.
Yes. And he will go down as a...
And it doesn't, nobody cares. Nobody remembers it.
Nah, he'll be a footnote.
And that's the best thing they've done in 25 years. That's the best, going all the way back to 2000, they haven't done anything other than that.
Yeah, but Dame is still always going to get the only thing that anyone will remember about those teams is Dame. And outside of that, people are like, ho-hum. Well, and like LaMarcus had some huge playoff moments here and no one cares.
I guess that's my whole point is why? Why is that? Why do you think that is? I mean, the West Finals, they got to the West Finals.
Uh-huh.
Furthest they'd been 25 years.
Yeah.
He's the guy that got him there with those performances. And no one, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's all I'm pointing out here.
I just think it's one of those things where... Because the way it ended and everyone knew that there was a limit to where you were going to go with those two guys. And I think the idea was that had you moved on from him earlier and Olshay not fallen in love with that, that things could have been different. So I think stuff gets lumped on his shoulders that shouldn't.
Well, and it also may go to show you that, you know, Lillard, of course, Lillard, the better player.
Yes.
So that matters. But also Lillard just connected with the community much
Yes.
In a much better way than CJ ever did.
CJ was I don't know. I'm not going to say he was aloof, but he was...
Well, he was aloof, for sure.
He was a different cat.
Yeah, very aloof.
Yeah.
And by the way, let's not forget his greatest contribution.
Oh.
She is an aloof bitch.
No, not that.
Not that.
No.
This.
Yeah.
Willametta.
I wonder if he knows that he changed my life forever.
Willametta.
I have spent the vast majority of my life here, and it wasn't until that one clip that I started calling it by its proper name.
The Willametta.
Which is the Willametta. And I will call it nothing but. In fact, when I hear someone actually call it by its name, I'm like, what? What
do you mean?
What do you mean?
Look, you're from here. You spent most of your life here.
Yeah.
As someone who is not from here, it is the first thing you do is you think it's the Willametta.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're quickly corrected. What is amazing about the Willametta clip from Siege is that he had lived here for like 2 years.
Yeah.
And he still said it that way.
And it just...
Fascinating.
It makes me so happy. And so to CJ, on your birthday, I wish I had gotten you something because you have gifted me something, and that is the gift of the mighty Willametta. Thank you.
Willametta.
Thank you.
So now to the weekend before the weekend in college football.
Yeah, because this weekend's a little bit of an appetizer, even though it's supposed to be kind of like the big rivalry week here from Wadawuda. next week is the week that people are jazzed up for.
Yeah. But before we get to next week.
Yeah, we got to get through this one.
Yeah.
And we'll see. You know, hey.
Yeah, they'll be good games.
I will say this about the rivalry week. Funky things can happen. Now, we don't expect.
Is this rivalry week? I mean, it's Oregon or State and Washington, yes. Washington State, but is it everywhere else?
Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
No.
So it's really not rivalry week.
But it's...
It used to be rivalry week back when it was in November, and they all played on the same weekend.
Yes.
But that's not the case anymore.
But, you know, for us...
Sorry, Roto-Rooter, but...
Are you denying rivalry week?
Well, I mean, it's not really... up here it is, I guess.
Yes.
It's good enough.
It is. How about this? It's the upper left rivalry week. That's what we have. That's what we're left to deal with. Look, it's better than nothing. Well,
here's what we have.
Honestly, the game that I'm most looking forward to is Texas Tech Utah.
Right out of the gate.
Yeah.
It's the big nooner.
Yes.
Or maybe it's not the big nooner.
It is the big nooner.
Is it?
Yes. But it is a 10 a.m. local kickoff.
Yeah, huh? 10 a.m. there.
Oh.
Mountain
because
time.
It's 9 a.m. for us, yes. Mountain time. But so for them, yeah. I mean, at least for Oregon Northwestern last week, yeah. Locally, that was a noon kickoff.
So when you said that it was locally, I assumed you meant this. I was like, what, it's at 10? Like, that's weird.
No.
Yes. Mountain time. Which, by the way, is... Mountain is such a weird sort of thing. It's kind of the bastard time zone.
Like, I don't like it.
If we don't get baseball and it goes to Salt Lake and kind of feels like it's going to go to Salt Lake, it is going to be strange because Major League Baseball wants that 7:10 first pitch, and it's either going to be a 6:10 first pitch or an 8:10 first pitch. It's going to be – there's a strange little
– That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet they start at 6 Mountain. Don't you think? Like, I think – haven't even some of the West Coast teams, like the Mariners – haven't they started before 7 now? Or is it still 7?
Almost all of the games that I see with the Mariners are 7:10. When they're home, they're 7:10 first pitches.
So that's 6:10 out there?
It'd be 6:10 out there. Because I would assume that having an 8:10 pitch on a weekday in Salt Lake, that's a rough ask of fans. But
well, the Mormies got to get to bed.
That is true. And no caffeine to stay up either.
Got to pray.
Got to pray.
Things
and,
to do.
Got things, yes.
Not going out late.
There's important things, although you're not drinking, so you could probably wake up and still feel refreshed.
So Texas Tech, Utah.
Yeah.
Great game. Big 12. This is a huge one for the... You know, I think there's a lot of people who believe that Texas Tech and Utah are the two best teams in the Big 12.
I think that it's more than some people.
You know?
I mean, no offense. I've seen Iowa State. I just don't think Iowa State's offense, despite the fact that Joel Klatt wants to make sweet, sweet football love with their quarterback, I just don't think that that is a realistic... In today's football world, I don't think you're good enough offensively. And I think you
want
have
to make sweet, sweet football love with Dan Lanning.
Whoa. By the way, the text line is in saying that the Mariners, at least first half of the season, go 630, 640.
Okay.
For earlier in the year.
For earlier.
I don't know why. Maybe because the kids are in school.
Kids are in school, maybe. I don't know. Or, yeah. So maybe that there's room for compromise there. Because that's the whole reason why people think that Portland has a leg up is that he wants that time slot. The commissioner has said that he wants that West Coast time slot. And, you know, I doubt that 1 hour is going to, if Salt Lake is that far ahead of us, I don't think that that's going to be the sole deciding decision. But it's nice that we can provide that West Coast time
frame.
Well,
I mean, if they start at 7 in Salt Lake, it's only 6 out here. That's perfect.
And maybe you could do something. If the Mariners have been playing a bunch of games at 6:30, 6:40, could you do a compromise and you know, and kind of split the difference?
So Red Raiders, Utes, I trust Kyle Whittingham.
As do I.
In Kyle Whittingham, we trust.
Yeah. Sweep it, all three of us.
Yeah.
Which probably means that Texas Tech will.
And it is in that.
It is, yes.
It is in that worrisome top five most bet sides of the weekend.
So we've been saying all year, this is kind of. One of my things is that if you line up all of the bets on the board that are the most heavily bet by the public, go against them, you'll win money. So far this season, you would be 13-2 against the spread you bet against those teams. Now, so the five that we have this week, Utah -3 is number 5.
Yes. Now that is, and that's at home. So basically, they're saying that this is close to a pick'em game, because it's at Rice-Eccles, and it's interesting because it's not like either squad has been tested at all. I mean, Texas Tech has played Arkansas, Pine Bluff, Kent State, and Oregon State. Now, I did not watch them play Pine Bluff, and I did not watch them play Kent State. I did watch all of the Oregon State game. And the two Utes, I watched them play UCLA. I did not watch them play Cal Poly, and I watched them play a little bit of Wyoming. So,
did you say Utes?
Yeah, two Utes.
Yeah, the two Utes.
So I've seen a little more of Utah.
Is that underrated?
It's a great.
It's a good flick.
It's great.
It's underrated.
Yes, it is. And all I can go with is by my eyeballs. And for me, Utah is more impressive to me than Texas Tech.
I agree with that.
When I watch Texas Tech and Oregon State, and this is not a slight towards Texas Tech, but if you ask me on a sliding scale, was I more impressed with Texas Tech or was I more unimpressed with Oregon State? I would say maybe a 65 to 70% slide is going to be, I was unimpressed with Oregon State. I thought there were plays to be made against Texas Tech, and I thought Texas Tech was very fortunate that Oregon State didn't show up. And that goes from turnovers to short fields. I mean, Texas Tech converted 3 third-and-20s, including one of them on a screen pass that went for a touchdown.
So supposedly they beefed up in the transfer portal?
Yes.
Where?
A lot of along the lines.
That's good because they'll need that against Utah.
Utah has arguably the, well, it's not even arguably, Utah has the best offensive line in college football.
Don't they have two guys that are going to be first round picks?
Yes. Yes.
That's crazy.
At bowl tackles.
And they have a quarterback this
year. They finally have a quarterback.
Their quarterback can sling it.
And Dan Feer, so.
Where'd he come from? And how did they finally find one in Kyle Whittingham's like 20th year there?
When it does feel like whenever Utah has a quarterback, they're fine. He came from
New Mexico.
I was going to say UNLV or New Mexico.
New Mexico.
Whenever they have a quarterback, they're good. And also remember that Utah was the overwhelming favorite last year in the Big 12, and then they just got riddled with injuries. Like, they just kind of fell apart.
Well, and they were awesome in the Pac-12.
They won the last two Pac-12 titles before the whole damn thing collapsed.
We sleep on them.
Yes, and they've got this Wayshon Parker that's averaging like 7 yards a carry. Their defense looks really good. And so, I can't wait for this one, but I do think a little bit Texas Tech is riding some hype train. They spent the most of anyone in the portal. They got a bunch of portal kids. They do look pretty good. But when I was watching them play, I thought their quarterback left a lot of meat on the bone against Oregon State. And so I like Utah in this. I do. I just think Utah, to me, looks like the better team. They're at home, and we all agree, which means Texas Tech rolls by 20.
Yeah, so the five most bet sides this week, Utah -3.
Yeah.
And we all like Utah, so that is most definitely the kiss of death.
Yeah.
Illinois +6.5. Michigan Illinois is at Indiana.
Yeah.
Michigan -2.5.
Nebraska.
They're playing at Nebraska. Miami -9.5 over Florida. And Oklahoma -7 over Auburn.
Yeah. So there's some big spreads.
So if you were to go, well, those aren't that big, but if you were to go against all five, you would be on the 13-2 side, at least thus far. Doesn't mean the public's always wrong.
Yeah.
But those are the most bet public sides.
Well, to me, when you've got a game with Florida, Miami, and we expected Florida to be an elite team, and you said they're catching 9.5.
Yeah.
That's a big spread when Florida, now granted, their quarterback is playing terrible right now, and he threw 5 picks. Florida is a talented team that won a lot of games last year that some people thought was a sleeping playoff team.
But I think here's the deal. And I'm with you on that. I feel like Florida-Miami is going to be a barn burner.
Yeah.
But here we go again, betting. Well, that one we would actually be betting against the public. So that's good. That makes us feel good.
Yeah.
But I feel like what ends up happening is people think, oh, well, Miami just trucked South Florida, and South Florida beat Florida rather handily at Florida. Therefore, Miami should... No.
By the way, that spread is no longer 9.5. It's 7 or 7.5 everywhere.
Yeah.
So there you go.
It doesn't work that way. It's just...
What do they call that? The trans... What is it? The property?
Transitive?
Transitive property?
Yeah, people think...
Because you beat you, and this... Therefore,
the reality is Florida and Miami have very similar talent.
Yeah.
If Lagway doesn't turn it over 5 times...
Yeah.
You know, which he probably won't because he did that last week.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that's a pretty good value on Florida at +9.5. Yeah. But then again, what do I know, Jace? Yeah. I know nothing.
Well, I
nothing.
Know that, well, it's interesting, too, that you've got the number 9 team in the country getting a touchdown, basically, against Indiana, I mean, there's...
Yeah. You know, that's an interesting number.
Yeah.
A lot of people love an Indiana's offense.
And that opened at 3, and as I heard someone say, people have been betting Indiana like they've seen the results in the Sunday paper.
Well, and so I just... Huh. I look at that, and you know how I feel about Indiana. I think they're... I have no respect for him.
They already ducked opponents this year.
And they're ducking opponents.
You love Kurt Cignetti.
Oh, dude, that guy.
He and Bob Knight.
That guy drives me crazy.
Old buddies.
And Google me, bitch.
Well, and I understand, like you've played 3 games. That Old Dominion game, and I get it's game 1 and you get better from week 1 to 2 to 3. But they looked beyond ordinary, put up 27 points against Old Dominion, and now we're acting as if their offense is unstoppable because they ran it up on Kennesaw State and Indiana State.
Mendoza's pretty good, but the rest of that team looked pretty meh.
And Illinois has a good defense and a physical defense with Bielema.
Well, they also have a good quarterback.
Yeah, and so you're giving me, what you say, it's like 6.5?
Right now you can catch that at 6.5.
You're giving me a touchdown
on
that?
Yeah, I'll take those points.
Dude, I'm not giving you a touchdown, but I am giving you 6.5.
Basically, you are giving me a touchdown.
You could buy a half.
Touchdown. 6, brother.
Well, that's fair.
So
give me a brother. Did you just brother me?
I did. You're giving me touchdown and a hook.
Well, the 6.5, it's always interesting, you know, when you get these numbers because you think about overtime.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing worse than when you bet an underdog and it goes to overtime. So you were
you were right.
You were pretty much right.
Yeah.
Jobs. And then it goes to overtime and then the spread's like 6 and they lose. Yeah. By 8, or you know, like because they have to go, so you have 3 overtimes, right?
Yeah.
Two overtimes before you have to go for 2. So the first one is just regular, you kick the extra point. Okay. So you want something within 7. The second overtime, you have to go for 2.
Yeah.
So you want something within 8. Well, the third overtime, if you have something bigger than that,
I hadn't even thought about the 2-point match.
It goes
play.
Down to 2.
God, that's brutal for
that. That sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a hard thing, and you can't overcome it. Like, there's no way. So, that Georgia Tech game last year, I don't remember what the spread was, but that got to the 2-point conversion overtimes.
And if you had 7,
you're screwed.
You're in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're not in trouble. You're dead.
Yeah. You can't
there's
win.
No way.
Your bet's dead.
Yeah.
Unless, I don't know, is there a way that they could pick 6 or something like that?
Yeah, you get a pick 6.
But it would
still be
no, but it would be a 2-point conversion.
What if
be,
you got your 2-point conversion first and they had to match and you pick 6'd it?
You'd be up 4.
Although, would it only be worth 2 because it's a conversion
attempt?
You'd be
up
attempt.
4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weird things. Yeah, because you could end it like, I mean, if it's the, if you have the ball and you throw a pick 6, game's over. The other team just, it's done. And they don't kick the extra point.
Well, yeah, that's in the first overtime, first or second overtime.
Even in the third, it wouldn't matter. In the third overtime,
it's a 2-pointer.
I understand, but like if you catch it and it goes back, it's still over. Like there's no. Like,
well, the other team gets 2 points.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So where?
No.
What are you saying?
It's not an automatic 2-point. You score. You just have to go for 2.
Right, but you're saying if you throw a pick six, you're technically throwing a pick 2 because it's only 2 points.
It won't be worth 6 because it's only a 2-point.
It's only 2-point conversion.
Okay. Right.
So if you win on defense in that overtime frame, you win by 2,
my
not
head,
6.
My head was spinning.
What the hell you're is doing going
great.
On?
I was like, what is happening with our Kansas BYU math?
I think we're going to stop.
Don't let me into this.
And I'm still dealing with WrestlePalooza.
All right, let's get through the rest. So Texas Tech, Utah, 9 a.m., big nooner on Fox. Should be good. Should be good.
Yes.
Let's get to the rest of the schedule coming up next. But first, Buck.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Quality new drop there. Touchdown 6, brother.
Touchdown 6, brother. Football's football.
That's solid.
Touchdown 6, brother.
Touchdown 6, brother. Football sucks, kind of.
So we're going through the college slate. We got stuck on one game.
Yeah.
Last segment.
Well, I think for a lot of people, you know, I mean, the Big 12 kind of gets forgotten. The ACC gets a little love, but, you know, the Big 12 is just kind of like there. And they got, I mean, they'll get a team into the playoff. In fact, they may get two into the playoff this year. So I think this is kind of, this is the first big tilt we've had in the Big 12. And that's exciting.
You also have Baylor and Arizona State
yeah.
in the Big 12. Yeah. Let's see, other games here.
We got Auburn, Oklahoma doing anything?
Yeah, that's where I was stopping next.
You know, I mean, you know.
I'll go there. Look, Oklahoma's 3-0. They have a win over Michigan. And Mateer right now is a Heisman Trophy sort of guy.
So this is the Auburn quarterback going back. So the old Oklahoma quarterback
yes.
is now the Auburn quarterback.
Jackson Arnold.
Jackson Arnold.
Yeah.
Against John Mateer. That's fun.
Yeah.
Jackson Arnold revenge game.
Is Jackson Arnold actually good at Auburn? Because he wasn't at
Auburn
Oklahoma.
Auburn is 3-0. I have not seen a lot of Auburn.
They looked pretty good against Baylor.
Yeah. So you know, it's just kind of one of those. These are two teams that were kind of afterthoughts in the SEC. We didn't give much didn't pay much attention to them. And both sitting there at 3-0. And the loser kind of goes back to that, you know, whatever. You know, you rub your head. But the winner, though, sitting there at 4-0 with a win over a top 25 team. It's exciting, by the way.
Oklahoma would jump into the top 10.
Yeah. Jackson Arnold completing about 70% of his passes, 4 touchdowns, no picks. So it's, you know,
how do we feel
nothing
about
to write home about, but they run the ball real well.
Michigan, Nebraska.
Yeah, I'm excited about this.
Have you seen the stats behind Nebraska?
No.
They are 0-27 in their last 27 games against ranked opponents.
Yeah.
Haven't beat a ranked team since 96.
Oh my God.
So this goes back to the
Mountain West. No, excuse me, 2016. 2016. Oh, 9 years.
Say, what the heck?
I conflated 9 years with 2016. Niners.
And this is the whole, you know, Matt Rhule lighting his team up. You know, they were up 38-0 at the half. And
who were they playing?
Was it Houston Christian or Akron? One of those? Just nobody. They were 38-0 at the half, and someone leaked the video of him talking to his team, and he is just laying into them. And yeah, this is enormous for Matt Rhule. One, Michigan's not that good, but you see glimpses of Bryce Underwood, the true freshman. He looks the part at times, but Michigan by no means is an elite team. They have a freshman quarterback. Their coach is suspended for this one. I mean, everything. And you're at home. There is no reason for Nebraska to lose this game. Like, if you are Matt Rhule and you think that you have Nebraska back on track, and some people thought Nebraska was a playoff team. I think a couple of the national pundits had Nebraska as a sexy kind of dark horse make of the college football playoff.
A lot of people
thing.
Sleeper pick.
And they eked by Cincinnati in week one. Didn't look great, but they found a way to do it. Raiola's playing pretty well, and then they've stomped two other nobodies. And so here comes Michigan. This is, dare I say, this is the biggest game of Matt Rhule's tenure at Nebraska.
Yeah, this one, they win this. We might get the whole narrative Monday that, you know, Nebraska's back.
They're back!
Yeah.
Well, because
I don't know if that will be true, because I'm with you. I don't think Michigan is all that. You know, Bryce Underwood certainly shows flashes. He's a freshman.
Yeah.
A freshman quarterback on the road in that environment. Yeah. And by the way, they don't have their coach.
No.
Sherrone Moore is out again for this game.
No.
Suspended. So I don't know. I'm with you. I think Nebraska probably should win that.
Well,
if they don't, that's an indictment.
It's a giant indictment. I watched Michigan play Oklahoma, and Oklahoma made Bryce Underwood look like a true freshman. I mean,
Nebraska's D is pretty damn good.
Yeah, but if Nebraska finds a way to get by Michigan, and I say find a way, you should not lose this game if you're Nebraska. You just shouldn't.
They are underdogs,
which is shocking to me.
Yeah, it's a lot of people like. I think Michigan's just kind of overvalued.
Well, I think Michigan exactly because you're still living off the Harbaugh national championship thing. If you watched Michigan play last year and you saw him against Oklahoma, I don't know why you would say that Michigan's the favorite. But if Nebraska finds a way to get by this, next up they have Michigan State, Maryland, Minnesota, Northwestern. Dude, it is prime
8-0
for Nebraska to go on a run, and then you finish up with USC, UCLA, but then Penn State. So this is why where people said Nebraska has a chance to be a playoff team. I mean, you get by this run, there's only two other quality teams left on your schedule, and you split those. Nebraska has a path, but you lose to Michigan, and it feels like there's a big old fork in the middle of that path.
Can I point out an interesting coaching matchup?
I was going to say ask, but then I was like, you're not asking, you're telling me.
Yeah. I'm dictating.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick v. Scott Frost.
Oh, that is weird.
Isn't that odd?
That is odd.
North Carolina at UCF.
Boy, North Carolina to me couldn't be further off my radar. I'm just like, eh. I'm glad that week one just kind of buried that story. And it's like, hey, wake me in 7 weeks if North Carolina is doing anything remotely interesting.
Well, they've won 2 games since.
I know.
What else do we have?
Illinois-Indiana, which I definitely have my eyes on.
Oh, Florida-Miami.
Yeah.
We talked about that.
And by the way, I'm telling you,
And the Apple Cup.
Keep an eye on Florida. I know they have not looked good at all, and their Cordy Lagway has just been terrible. Even with 5 turnovers, they were in that game against LSU. I mean, that was a 7-10 point game. That was just right there. If he had just played a halfway decent game, and yeah, you know, just keep an eye on that. Napier's had his back against the wall, and funky things happen. That's one that wouldn't shock me if that ends up being a closer game. And let's also not discount the fact that Mario Cristobal is Mario Cristobal, and they try to find ways to give games away. See Notre Dame. So I will pay in a little more attention to that than I think most people.
We got the Apple Cup, Washington, yeah. Washington State in Pullman.
I'm telling you, Jed Fish is going to try to score 1,000 points. Everything I hear from up there is that...
Doesn't he always?
Yeah. Well, he's got the Spurrier mentality, but I think from what I'm hearing, Fish is not happy about the flack he took after last year's Apple Cup and the play call to lose that game, the short side quarterback sweep. And I think Washington is desperately trying to get some national notoriety with the Ohio State game looming. I just feel like they could be up by 40 in the fourth quarter, and I think that dude's throwing go routes to Boston. they're going to try to run that thing up.
Does USC get friction from Michigan State?
You know, USC got friction from Purdue. Did you see any of that game?
No, missed that one.
I'm telling you, like, USC has the number one offense in the country, I believe, still. Despite, you know, whatever that means. It's Missouri State, Georgia Southern, and Purdue. But that Purdue game, man, they had a fat man pick six and like a long fat man pick six. Dude, it was like number 6. I think maybe 0. It was a single digit big old defensive tackle that rumbled long ass way to score a touchdown. And, you know, before that, dude, that was a competitive game in the second half. Purdue gave them some push. And I don't, you know, Purdue's got a new coach. They're, you know, they were 2-0. So
that Barry Odom, right?
Yeah. Maybe Purdue's not as bad as we think, but, you know, USC, I'm intrigued by this because Michigan State is a step up from Purdue, and USC did not look dominant by any stretch of the imagination against them. And USC's got a nasty little run here. They have Michigan State, and then they got Illinois, Notre Dame, and Nebraska in a row. We're about to find out if the Trojans have the big boy balls at this point. You know, we all this talk about, you know, it's second year defensive coordinator, and, you know, Lincoln Riley's turned his program around, and they're recruiting better and they're more physical. And, you know, this is...
I'll believe it when I see
this
it.
This is a big stretch here.
All right, coming up next, fun NFL Week 3 betting numbers on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.